Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Comedy Arcade, part friendly panel show, part vicious competition, where contestants fight with their best anecdotes on mystery topics generated through a trusty bingo ball. I'm Vic Slayton, host of the show, spirit of the bingo balls, and games master. Points will be awarded for originality, amusement value, and my general caprice and mood on the day. The contestant with the most points at the end of the game wins, but their opponents will be granted a few cheat codes along the way, just to keep it interesting. Right, okay, let's play the game. So, welcome to the Comedy Arcade, which is part panel show, part vicious competition. But you guys all look really nice, so I think this is going to be fun. So, for the listeners who can't see your lovely faces, we have the American dream that is Sarah Baron returning Hello. To Comedy Arcade.
Thank you.
After a successful first season showing, we have the lovely comedian, writer, and I've been like, a social media son of yours for a long, long time. Juliet Benton, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Yeah, this is lovely because we've met on social media, but now I'm actually meeting you as a real life person, still two-dimensionally, but it's lovely.
Yep. The amount of books I have to have under my laptop to try and match the photos I put on social, it's getting bigger and bigger. It's basically
a ladder.
I'm using
cardboard boxes are my friend at the moment.
It's okay. We've all got to do what we have to do in the new Zoom world. And last but certainly not least, actor, comic genius, writer, person who knew me when I was much nerdier, because we went to sixth form together, David Finn. How are you?
I'm very well. Very well. Thank you. Jack of some trades, definitely master of none.
I don't know. You mastered Jack Black, the School of Rock.
a poor man's version, maybe, yeah.
Yep, you'll know. You might wonder where you know David from. It's because all of his School of Rock promotional material around London is still up, like 5 years later.
Oh yeah, they got their money's worth. They got their money's worth.
You just haunt me on buses, just in case I ever think comedy might make me one of the most successful people from my sixth form. You will pass me on the bus, and we're like, nah, still not.
Noel Sullivan went to our sixth form as well, so we're both chasing that one.
I don't know. I think you might have eclipsed him.
I don't know. I actually took over from him the last time on School of Rock. He was the last person to do that, and then I did it.
That's weird. Are they only recruiting from St. David's College in Cardiff? Is that a thing?
They are. They were at the end, and then that's what finished it, and that's why it's closed.
It wasn't the pandemic.
It was. No, they finished just before the pandemic.
Because I was there. I came to the last week, didn't I?
Yeah.
That's the last time we saw each other before the world ended. But now I'm going to ask you some really weird and awkward questions based on a bingo ball full of topics. And
awesome.
So let's start the game. Right. So first topic we've got on the list, and it is embarrassing injuries.
Okay, I'll go hard or go home with this. And this is just, I'm thinking of this as whatever I put us all through out of like sheer embarrassment. I also feel like I'm doing us the favor of an ice break. So this is just going hard or going home. Basically, my most embarrassing injury is I'm very comfortable with this. I'm worried about how you guys are going to be. Let's just do it. I didn't learn to wank until I was 17. So when I was 17, I went crazy. On the seventh day of that week, I woke up and my right hand, business hand, was in this sort of like like what in the States we call like a carpal tunnel syndrome, like a claw frozen. Wow. Because I'd given myself repetitive strain injury from excessive masturbation. My mother knew nothing of this, just saw me at the breakfast table, like with this hand, was worried I'd had a brain aneurysm, rushed me to A&E, and I was fitted for a wrist brace, which I had to wear the first week of my senior year of high school. That's my most embarrassing
could
injury.
Could you not wank during that time?
Then I'm sure I wouldn't have been able to. So I haven't even sort of like, no one's, I've told that story many times and I don't think anyone's ever asked me that. And you're right. Like, how did I, having finally gotten a taste of what was possible and then the immediate cutoff, I bet I still could wank. I bet I would take, it wasn't like I broke my wrist. It was a sprain. So surely I would pare back from my usual appetite, but I'm sure it was like still available to me as an option.
It's your classic wanker's claw.
Yeah.
I had visions of your mum kind of going, oh, wanker claw.
at the dinner table. Reflect back on it, I'm like, surely the doctor, I don't think my mother, but I do think, which is probably just the thing I tell myself, but I'm sure the doctor was like, that must be a thing that happens to people. Mm-hmm. This girl told me that it happened to her at university, like, and they call it procrasturbation. So like, if to avoid studying for a test, you're like, I should be studying, but I don't want to study anymore. And you just like keep repetitively wanking and you call that procrasturbation.
Right. I'm learning so much from this conversation already. This is a great start.
I just went in. She was like, embarrassing injuries. I was like, shit, I got to go in hard here, don't I? Oh,
my dad once had carpal tunnel, and that's really upsetting news, to be honest.
different reason?
Yeah, well, maybe he was playing
tennis. I didn't ask. I will continue to not ask. Right. Anyone else want to start?
I mean, I don't know if I'm going to get anywhere near that, but my embarrassing injuries are usually when I was much younger and drunk. And this is so stupid, laddie nonsense. But I was walking home from college one night, drunk in London. And you know, when there's like famous people and everyone knows where they live. And so I was walking past this house that was reputed to be Kylie Minogue's house. And I was on the phone to my friend and I said, oh, I'm walking past Kylie Minogue's house. And I was really drunk. He was like, kick it. I said, what? And he went, kick it. And I just kicked the outside wall of the house and I broke my toe.
Well deserved, though.
Oh, that will learn me. It was just, I mean, it was the outside wall of the out, you know, it was like not even in the garden. It was like outside on the street, but I broke my toe on Kylie Minogue's on her house. Yeah.
How long did it take the toe to heal?
It was with the toe. It's kind of difficult because like they don't want to put it in a cast. You just usually go on crutches and they wrap it up. It took about 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I broke, the reason I'm asking is I think I broke my toe like about a month ago, but I didn't want to go, you know, I didn't want to put an added strain on the NHS. So I'm like, I'm sure that was my toe breaking, but you hear that you just kind of keep on keeping on and eventually your toe is better again.
Were you kicking Kylie Minogue's house as well?
I was following in his footsteps.
Every time.
I know what you mean about like the strain on the NHS, because I had a similar thing during lockdown with this wanking injury. Right. Didn't want to bother them.
No,
get a tubey grip on it.
No, they don't need to know.
That's on your medical record.
Just a massive, massive uptick during lockdown on these wanking injuries.
Oh. Not enough people are talking about this.
Yeah,
right. It's a thing
about the struggle.
Bring it into the light, Sarah. Bring it into the light. Julia, any embarrassing wanking injuries or other? Don't feel typecast by that.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I feel envious because of the wanking industry.
That is open to you, Juliet.
Well, I didn't discover the way this is slightly tangential, but my way into wanking was directly through like Anne Summers and the Rampant Rabbit. Right. So yeah, I think manual. I'm still in awe of people who can do it manually.
Acoustic, anyway, if you will.
Yeah. Exactly. In terms of embarrassing injuries, so I've broken one bone once, trying very hard to steer away from the word bone there, following on from wanking. But I think It was embarrassing, not the injury per se, but the fact that it was done in probably the most middle class way ever. Of we were playing hockey and a girl missed the ball as she went to whack the ball, missed the ball, and the stick came up into my face. So properly, the kind of like feeling the hockey stick go to the back of the brain. And it was the kind of like blood everywhere. Like later on when I got undressed, it was blood on like every layer of clothes to like the training bra that I was wearing, because I was only like 15 at the time. And then like having a face that just was purple for the next few days, which is great when you're feeling great as a prepubescent or pubescent girl. Like having a purple face was just did wonders for my self-esteem at the time. But the nice thing was, I think it might have been my first taste of alcohol, because apparently they were washing it with like some water that was by the side of the hockey pitch. But actually, it turned out to be vodka that one of the girls had smuggled onto the sports ground. So, I think that's maybe not embarrassing as such as
harrowing, terrible repressed memory. Yeah.
But I thought I'd bring that vibe to the beginning of the show.
Good.
We've all come with very different vibes. Yeah.
I want to know more about the badass who bought vodka to a hockey game when she was 15.
Yeah, I know.
Were they good people? Did you identify the person that...
I didn't, and now I really regret not befriending that person immediately. So that, and then guilt tripping them to mean that I could hang out at their parties. That would have been good, but no.
Yeah, that is a much cooler genre of 14, 15 year olds. I remembered an equally repressed memory of how I went round when I was in year 9 collecting up all the unwanted Cadbury's chocolate wrappers to try and get tickets to see Tina Turner.
Oh, that's cool.
No, it's funny now through the rearview mirror, but at the time, yeah, I put my dignity aside to experience Tina Turner live, and I got the prize that other people got when the tickets ran out, which was a Tina Turner sweatshirt with the date of the show on it.
Oh, that's almost like a slap in the face.
Yeah.
Like, here's where you could have been.
Yep. What price my self-respect? A sweatshirt in Cadbury's purple.
I think that's really dorky for a year 9 kid, but now in hindsight, I think that's resourceful, economic, and I now appreciate the music of Tina Turner. When I was 13, 14 at that age, I would have dismissed her.
I march to the beat of my own drum very much.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah.
But it was just a horrible, searing flashback of me like following people around finishing chocolates and being like, you can put that in the bin. Can I have that? Like,
that's what I do nowadays just for like regular food.
Excruciating behavior. Right. Are we all out of embarrassing injuries?
Sure.
Shall we move on? Right. Yes. And the ball is unpopular opinions.
Oh, I've got some. I could go. This is a category I can go hard in on. Okay.
Okay.
Come on then.
Okay.
We're ready.
Right. Firstly, I hate Devon. I really hate Devon. I'm sorry for anyone who's listening or anyone on the call who is from Devon. I really, really hate Devon. And there's a couple of reasons for this. I also really dislike farming, even though I'm from a farming family. I come from a really long line of farmers. Like my dad is a farmer. My sister has married a farmer. My mum's dad was a farmer. My dad's dad is a farmer. All four of my nephews want to be farmers. My uncle is a porn star. Sorry, mispronounced that. Farmer. All of them are farmers. All of them. And I don't really belong on the farm. I've tried dating farmers because apparently that's like the only available option for women in the countryside, is you can't be a farmer, you have to date one. And like in the countryside, it feels like women don't have voices. They just have babies. So I don't like farming, which is an unpopular opinion in my family. But in terms of Devon, like, so we went to Devon on a family holiday when I was a similar age to when I had the hockey stick in the face. So about 16. So I'd just a year ago, I'd been in my first hospital for psychiatric conditions, so mental health hospital, was when I was 15, and that's when the hockey stick boarding school was like, don't come back because mental ill health is contagious, so don't come back. Got expelled from that posh school, which is why I still have this remnants of this accent, even though I have like no money.
Catfishing us with your poshness.
Yeah, I know. I get thrown out of the most expensive restaurants. But I went to this really posh school. They said, Ben, don't come back because mental ill health isn't a thing. Go away now. And I was put on Prozac, which A, is now illegal to prescribe to anyone under the age of 24, and B, made me feel like a complete zombie who didn't think or feel anything. So happy pills they are not. I wasn't happy. I wasn't unhappy. You could have told me that Busted had broken up and I wouldn't have cared. Like that.
We're coming back to that point.
Did Busted have broken up?
Then they got back together.
Oh, yeah, it's a whole saga. In fact, yeah, I feel like we should talk about that more. But Devon, just very briefly.
So your parents saw all that thing that's happening to you, and their solution was a holiday in Devon.
Let's go to Devon. And Devon's just where it's just full of farms, and I don't like farming anyway. And like, it's so dull. It pretends it's a holiday destination, but it's not warm. It's not hot. It's got like, there's no culture. The only culture they've got there is in yogurt, and I hate yogurt. And like, apparently they're famous for like having really wonderful cream, and I'm allergic to that. It's full of green, like there's no variety of color. It's just green hills, green fields, and it's just so frustrating. And we went there, and I was apparently like, I was given my independence by having my own room, and I was like, but I'm miserable, I'm depressed, I'm on Prozac, and I'm surrounded by the most infuriatingly floral bedspread I'd ever seen. So even though I was on Prozac and I felt very little because of the Prozac, like, I still really was furious about Devon.
You were small, but you were still too big a deal for Devon.
Yeah, like, yeah.
In a way, I think you should love Devon, because you said you couldn't feel anything. You clearly felt a lot of rage for that destination, so...
Maybe, it's a love-hate relationship. Maybe I'll fall in love with it in my later life. So I've been in hospital 5 times for mental health conditions, and the last hospital was actually in Devon, so... Like, I think that might have done it for me, actually.
There's a lot to unpack there, but this is Comedy Arcade, not Therapy Arcade. So,
Devon, though, is it's. I just don't understand it. I don't understand why anybody goes there.
Fuck you, Devon. Anyone else? I don't know if that's an unpopular opinion. I too had a boring holiday in Devon as a teenager. I had no excuses for it either. It was just shit. But
I don't think I've ever been there. What's the biggest city in Devon? Is Devon a region or is it a...
Explain it to our American friends.
It's a region, and it has the nerve to say, isn't Torquay in Devon? And Torquay is meant to be the English Riviera. That shit.
I will say, yeah, unpopular opinions. I just can't get behind a British beach. So maybe we're sort of on the same. I know if I were to get out to Cornwall, I'd be like, oh, the cliffs. But it's, I think if you grow up with the idea that like you see a beach and of course you get in the water, some of the cold of the British beaches, I can't quite. To walk, you know, I don't know, but anyway, I want you to feel like you're not alone.
It's a betrayal. I feel like it's a betrayal. Like the beach is meant to be hot, and you go out there, and it's like, this isn't warm. This is fucking freezing. Why am I wearing a bikini?
A bait and switch.
Thank you.
Ruggedness when it comes to beaches is definitely overrated.
Yeah.
I want heat.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't want stones or pebbles.
A lot of people feel this way, but no one feels.
No one's talking about it.
Say it until it's presented on popular opinion.
But this is a secretly popular opinion, then, so it doesn't really qualify. So I'm not going to award any points for that.
But thank you for giving me the chance to vent there. That was
unload.
Good.
It's okay.
So therapeutic.
Yeah, we all got something from that. Sarah, any other? I feel like you've got unpopular opinions. I don't want to prejudge you.
Frankly, some of my genuinely unpopular opinions, I don't know that I would share. But I think that I was thinking today about how this is the ugliest possible way to say this, but I would say that I pity, that's the verb I'll go with, I pity people who run marathons. no part of me would ever go, oh my God, you're amazing. I'm basically like, get a job. And that's not real, because I know plenty of people with impressive jobs that still run, you know, who are into that kind of thing. But I feel it exclusively, this is based on nothing, it exclusively is motivated by something sad in that person. That's the thing. I think I'm not saying it's right. I'm sure you can, and I think like in other words, I have a friend who's a recovered addict, and the way that she has handled herself in recovery that is brilliant is by getting really into physical fitness. So she used to do coke and now she does marathons, and that's beautiful. That is part of a recovery story. My husband is a recovered alcoholic. I would love if his new addiction was running instead of eating. Do you know what I mean? Like, so I believe in it, but I'm saying it's part of a journey that involves a darkness somewhere.
What are you running from?
Crazy long distance running because your childhood was flawless and your adulthood is really fulfilling you. That's not happening. So that's the thing I think that I don't think a lot of people think. And then also I think that I'm super, this isn't, you know, I'm not comfortable with these opinions, but they knock around. I'm very judgmental of, Juliet, are you married?
No.
And you are you married or are you partnered?
Married, yeah.
Did you change your name?
No.
Yeah, see, neither did I. And what we're supposed to say as feminists is like, well, then that's fine. Like, we didn't, but women can. It's just women choose. And I'm like, yeah, but the better women choose not to. Sorry. But
my mother-in-law won't accept it. She's still
the
right.
The second I know a woman changed her name, I'm like, oh, okay, you're a different kind of person to me. And I consider you lesser. And that's fucked up. And if I was more evolved as a woman, like, what, am I better than Michelle Obama? No, she changed her name. So I don't know what I'm talking about, but I will, when it's women very much of our age, I'm probably older than everyone here, but you know what I mean? Like, somewhat younger in the marriage realm, I go, ladies, it's 2021. What? But you can't express that. David, are you married?
I am, yeah.
She
yeah.
took your name, didn't she? She took
she
your name.
Did. Oh, yeah, she did.
There was a fight, wasn't it?
I knew that was going to happen. And listen, that's beautiful. And for all I know, because the thing you hear a lot is women had fucked up. I've had several conversations with friends who have very loaded relationships to their maiden name and or their dads. And it's a way of like embracing this family that they chose for themselves. And that there is beauty.
Creating a new.
It's really interesting though. We haven't kind of reassessed it. I asked her when we were engaged, and she was like, "Yeah, of course." But now, in hindsight, in fact, I'm going to ask her tonight. I'm going to say, "How did you feel now that you've? What do you think now? Because so much has changed in the 9-10 years since we got married. It'd be a. It's well, a really.
How old you are?
Conversation." 37.
You look so young. You're 37. Like, it didn't occur to me. I have a child, and it didn't occur to either my husband or I to give our son my last name. And I was like, how did it not even occur to us to at least ask the question about this ultimately sort of very patriarchal thing? And we just didn't. And you know, it's these differing levels of like, gosh, we just didn't thing.
I was engaged to get married a couple of years ago, and instead we ended it because we thought we'd choose the untrodden path. And we're now best friends here. Which took a lot of effort. Like, it wasn't easy. So like, we had to become like the new Gwyneth Paltrow and Chris Martin of a conscious uncoupling, although we are a lot less annoying, I hope.
How much money was spent before you made that unconscious uncoupling decision? Just interested.
So I'd already bought the wedding dress. It was in a sale, but it was the most expensive item of clothing I'd ever bought.
Wow.
That's now boxed up and just sitting in a storage unit somewhere. So I was really upset about that. But if you're more upset, here's a top tip. If you're more upset about the wedding dress than about your ex-fiancé, then that probably tells you that it was the right thing to do.
Good sign.
He and I had gone halves on an engagement ring, which I still have as well. But I just like, I don't know what to do with it, because it's like, I've taken it to a couple of jewelry stores and they've kind of taken a look at it, and like, no shade on him because I went halves on it, but like, they've kind of gone, not really worth it.
And you can't like pass it on to someone else. It's a bit of a cursed item, isn't it? That's
I know, but then also like it was a lovely part of our lives, and yeah, we are very, very like we're really good friends now. We're total best friends. He was the first person I saw when we were allowed to have like socially distanced walks and stuff, and we've worked really hard at it. As I say, like Gwyneth Paltrow and Chris Martin, although I'm not selling any candle-based merchandise as well.
Good. That was going to be my next question. Yeah. Not yet. Yeah. We've got a few weeks left before lockdown's over. There's still time.
But the name thing, we were talking about like smushing our names together to kind of come up with a new name, or just changing our names both, like both of us completely starting afresh with a brand new name.
Bowie. Yes. Or like...
Oh God, I hadn't even thought of that. That's so much better than the things we came up with.
And they're like, and people can be like any relation and you can look off into middle distance. Like, I don't want to talk about that.
That would be great. Oh, okay. Right. Next time I fall in love and it happens again. Right. Bowie. That's the plan. Bowie.
Right. Okay, cool. Right. Next category. Worst jobs.
Double or nothing.
Oh, all right. Ooh, this is big. This is big talk. Come on then, David Finn. Let's have it.
And I wanted to do double or nothing because I wanted you to know that I read the rules.
You are the first person in the history of the game to...
Is the most, don't you find that the most likable aspect in somebody?
Oh my God, yeah.
My heart. It's like there's no denying excellence and kindness in someone who reads rules.
It's considerate, isn't it?
So thoughtful and kind. Okay.
All right.
Yeah, but yeah, you see me kind of when I'm being hard done by when other people aren't following rules, and my petulance more than makes up for the
same.
Yeah. Yeah. So mine was, I had, when I was at sixth form, actually, Vix, I had a string of jobs that were kind of one led into the other. So one was, I was working at Burger King by Cardiff Castle for £3 an hour. And I was there for a week. And then one night the manager came and I was making Whoppers. And he was like, right, you're on DA tonight. I was like, what's that? And it was the dining area. So basically, I had to stand upstairs, clear the tables, wipe the tables. And he came up after about an hour and he was like, you haven't done the toilets.
And I was like, that's not the dining area.
The dining area includes, he was like, it includes doing the toilets. And I was like, oh, okay. And this was Friday night. It was like 11 p.m. And I went into the toilets and it was like the scene that greeted me when I opened the cubicle was like a pooey Caligula.
Oh,
it was
no.
Everywhere.
Oh, you poor
It baby. Was everywhere. It was, and it's the only job where I've had the balls to, and I weighed up the £3 an hour plus paying tax on that probably compared to like weighing up the balance of £3 an hour versus the cleaning up the shit. Even though you get a free Whopper, it's still not worth it. So I said to him, I'm done. I quit. And I walked out.
Yes.
That led into me working at Legal & General, which is a pensions company, and being completely out of my depth as a 16-year-old and not caring at all. So when people would call and I didn't understand a question, and these are people dealing with their pensions, I would just go, zap, 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 and hang up. Because then they'd go through to a colleague of mine.
A competent person. I mean, I would argue you were doing them a favour because I wouldn't have wanted to take pension advice from you.
That's what I thought.
How long was that racket going on?
I was there for about 2 or 3 years because my team leader, I got on really well with my team leader and she really liked me. So she was always like, oh, whatever, just okay. But then I was part of, I used to do extra work when I was at sixth form because I was a theatre nerd. And I used to like to do some extra work on the side. And one day I got a call from the agency and they said, we've got a bit of an unusual job for you. And I was like, okay. And they basically asked me to go and work in a warehouse and find out, because there was someone there stealing the stock from this warehouse. And it was a well-known chain of clothes shops. And they wanted me to find out the person that was stealing them.
This is amazing.
God. You're like James Bond.
Or Joey from Friends in the restaurant.
Yeah.
But no, James Bond, totally.
So I ended up in Dunstable outside Luton staying in a Holiday Inn, and I was 19, staying in a Holiday Inn.
Less James Bond.
So not James Bond. And Dunstable, by the way. I'm sorry for anyone who lives in Dunstable, but that place, I'd pick Devon over Dunstable any day. So I was working nights in this warehouse, and I was looking around. I was like, I can't see anyone nicking anything. And I was just like, I'm doing 12-hour night shifts in a warehouse. This is just awful hard work. And that was the first week. And then I was supposed to be doing 2 weeks to find out who's doing it. And then on the last night of the first week, someone was like, let's just call him Johnny. That wasn't his name. He was like, Johnny's back from holiday on Monday. And I was like, oh, okay. So I was like, all right, let's see what this big character's like. This might be the culprit. 5 minutes in, Johnny sat down and was like, what? I was like, yeah, how you doing? He was like, yeah, you know, it's pretty easy going here. And by the way, if you ever need anything and like any of the clothes, just let me know. I'll sort it out for you. I was like, oh, there we go. Found him. At the time, they were paying me like £150 a shift, which was more money than I could ever conceive of earning in my life at that point.
No. Compared to the £3 toilet cleaning.
What an ascension.
What a journey. What a journey that was.
It really came good for me.
You're right, though. That was a good double or nothing play. Has anyone else had a bad job? Because if he wins the best of the category, he gets double points.
Oh, so. God. All right, Juliet, do you want to see if you can top it? I'll try.
I'll give it a go, and then I'll pass the baton over to you, Sarah. I feel like we could do this, though.
Yeah, I think we said it with so much respect and affection.
Yeah, absolutely. With all the respect and affection. But okay, ready? Here we go. So I think that one of the worst jobs I've ever had is when I was 15 years old. I'm suddenly realizing that all my stories are from when I was 15 years old.
Big time for you.
It was a big time. I had a summer job working on a rat farm. It was run by my brother-in-law's brother, who was a hunk of a man, and I had a massive crush on him, like really, just dark-haired hunk. But he bred rodents to sell to pet shops. But like some of them were cute, like chinchillas, but most of them were the baby rats that he bred to kill in a gas chamber to then be sent to the pet shops as snake food. So that made him a lot less sexy, I've got to say, him like being the rodent SS. So I was working at this rodent farm, sweeping the floors, mucking out the mummies giving birth to all the baby rats that were destined for the gas.
Oh my god!
It was a very confusing time having a crush on a guy that killed rats in this manner.
Mass murderer of rats.
Entirely. And I knew that like my family were like, oh, but maybe she and him could get together and they could have like Juliet and this guy could like, because that's the whole point in the farming world is like girls marry other farmers and then the farms, it's very Pride and Prejudice, you know, but with like gassing rats. That was around the time that I also stopped eating red meat for obvious reasons as well. And also stopped wanting to date farmers, so gave that up. But even working there at the end of that, I was like, right, I can't do this anymore. I'm gonna have to find another proper job. But that wasn't as bad as when I spent time working in a call center. So the rats may have been gassed in little chambers, but these little cubicles that I was in the call center were horrific, because that was where my honesty and integrity and self-respect went to die. It was awful. Like, we were lying to people in America trying to sell them something that they didn't need, and it was all done by scripts, which is amazing considering that I do love theater. You'd think I'd like to using a script, but it was just like, you know, when you just, you can't, you feel dirty because you know you're just lying to people on the phone. Right. About it was so horrible. So I was like, no, I promised myself I'm gonna quit this job, which I did, and I was like, I've got to go into a job that I really, really like. So I tried journalism, and that also wasn't filled with integrity, so that was a misfire as well. Comedy is where you can't bullshit anybody. You got it. The more truthful you are, the more hard they'll laugh, so.
Well, that was quite a journey, Sarah.
What a journey. I mean, such a different arena I'm about to occupy now. I must have been like 23, and I tried stand-up for a year before deciding to walk away from it. But in that year, at the end of the year, I got this job doing stand-up as part of like a hen do, basically. So it was like a show for women out on hen do's. And it was strip show hosted by a drag queen with like a 10-minute stand-up set from a female comedian. So basically it would be like drag queen, male stripper, me, drag queen, male stripper. And it wasn't like I was good. I mean, I had no chops. I had no experience. You know, I was just awful. And I would go out after these two strippers, which I say with respect, like those dudes could do their job. And then I come out with like terrible comedy and no stage presence, being like, hey guys. And I would just straight up get booed off the stage. And it was so humiliating. And I understood it was funny. You know what I mean? You're like, this is sort of a life experience I'm having here, right? but it was too painful in those 10 minutes. And I think that really is probably the worst job I've ever had.
Was that here or in the States?
It was in the States. So I did it for a year as like a 24-year-old in the States and then started it again.
How do hens compare? Because I can imagine that it's like hell on earth in the UK. What is that like in the US?
I've not done too much in the way of stand-up gigs for Hindus over here. I don't think.
I'm drunk on a Hindu and I would not want me in the audience.
Well, you probably would if it was a strip show, because that's kind of the energy that you want. It was also like, I've never been in that environment since then. And it was so like, I was just such a disappointment to those women.
So would it be multiple groups?
Yeah, multiple groups.
Like a brunch.
And interestingly, I would be backstage with the male strippers. And it was like, that was interesting. Like they were very specific about what oils they would use to sort of oil themselves. And like, they absolutely had penis pumps and they would like put their penises into these things that would make them obviously erect, but like very, very, I guess not like boner erect, but like a very full peen.
What an experience.
Like a boner that they could dance with. It was very interesting.
I feel like this is a whole area that I don't know enough about.
I don't know enough about it, you know, but that was my little opening.
That's what I'm going to be Googling.
You should also, I recommend to everyone here, one of my favorite films of all time, genuinely, like where I go is my happy place, is Magic Mike 2 XXL. Such a good film. And I love watching those guys dance. And the best part of that film is Jada Pinkett Smith as this woman who runs like a strip club for women, like where women should come to see men dance. Oh my God. Have you guys seen that film?
No, but that's this evening's viewing.
How does it compare to the full Monty?
I've never seen the full Monty, but can I say something? Can I say something controversial?
Go on.
It's like, I know, and I'm basing this on like Drag Race UK versus Drag Race US, is right now, I feel, are you guys watching the current season of Drag Race?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Unbelievable. And it makes me very proud to live here. It's like, I really feel that showcasing British drag in this incredible light and being like, this is what British culture offers in terms of like, it's just funnier. It's just more self-effacing.
They sing live. Like, it's old school cam.
There's this grit to it that the US doesn't have. But sometimes on the other side, I feel that certain aspects of US culture serve a kind of like razzle dazzle showbiz polish that the UK doesn't quite compete with. And I really feel that that's true in Magic Mike XXL. It's like, this shit is so cheesy and like irony free. And that's what I want. And I know that the full Monty would give me that more British experience. And I'm not sure I want it on this.
You'd feel things. And that's not what you're looking for.
You couldn't be more right about that, about the difference between Magic Mike and the full Monty. Course. The full Monty is not razzle dazzle in any way. A lovely
film.
There's
a whole podcast in comparing the two.
It really is. I'm not watching it to get, like, my husband was like, do you watch this to get turned on? And I'm like,
no.
So fun and exuberant. And again, you guys, I am telling you, Jada Pinkett Smith is one of the great film performances of all time. It's so funny and it doesn't mean to be. And it's just spectacular. P.S. I could play the part. I'll say that.
I have to say, though, the trailer for Magic Mike XXL, My wife and her best friend, when it came out, started watching it. And I was like, I'm right
Joe Manganiello like, in the supermarket.
Or just Channing Tatum in that workshop, doing that solo dance in the workshop.
Anyway, that's not what this podcast is about. It's not Thirsty Arcade either. And we have we have reached the end of the podcast. Well, I'm adding up the points, it won't take long. We'll start with Sarah. Where can we find you outside of this arena?
Oh, you can find me on Twitter at Sarah Barron, S-A-R-A-B-A-R-R-O-N, and on Instagram at Sarah Barron, same spelling, 1 million. That's it, right?
You're a $1 million woman.
No, it was such a bad mistake because it's like people can't figure out how many zeros are in a million. It was a bad choice, but whatever.
It's true. I frequently get it wrong. And Juliet, where can we find you out in the real world?
Well, in the real world, probably in a pub when they open, but on Twitter, I'm at Juliet Burton, J-U-L-I-E-T-T-E-B-U-R-T-O-N, because my mother decided that she wanted the French version of Romeo and Juliet, which is a lot like the British version, except that nobody dies due to a poisoning because the apothecary was closed due to the 3-day working week.
And there's never any pencils or hats with your name on it.
Never.
In Devon.
Exactly that. Not even like a little sticker with my name for my front door or anything. No key rings. I'm so furious. Anyway, go away, Devon. Twitter. Follow me on Twitter at Juliet Burton, unless you're from Devon. No, actually, do convince me I'm wrong if you're from Devon and Devon's lovely. On Instagram, I'm Juliet_Burton, and it's Juliet Burton, writer, performer on Facebook. Website's julietburton.co.uk. And I'm even on Twitch now. I'm doing twitch.tv/Juliet Burton. That's a joy.
What are you doing on there?
For a while, I was messing up my technology and like getting really like, I cried my first stream. I just started crying and I was like, this is what the public want.
It is. It's very entertaining to see people break down. That's why I watch.
I figured it out and I am now gaming quite a lot on there, but then what I'm enjoying the most is just chatting and doing like improv comedy and chatting and doing new materials, like writing new material and saying, hey guys, I've got a bit of new material, what do you think? And then finding that it's like being back on stage and you're just kind of, the funniest stuff comes out when I'm just not stressing. It's really lovely audience there.
That sounds like so much better than going to random open mics. I did one last night where there was an American on, no disrespect for Sarah, but who was just feeding back immediately after every line of everybody's set.
That's weird.
And it wasn't positive.
Hang on, people are still heckling on Zoom. That is
to
mad,
your actual face, because you can see their face. Oh my God. Anyway, David, where can we find you? What are you working on?
Hi, I'm on Twitter as David Finn, F-Y-N-N, and I'm on Instagram as David Finn, just add an N.
Anything of your oeuvre that you want to direct people to?
Oh, I'm doing two TV jobs coming up, but I don't know if I'm allowed to... The Mauritanian. I did a small part in The Mauritanian, and I had a few scenes with Jodie Foster, which was... it's unbelievable. And I lived in LA for a while, so you get used to seeing people around and you get very kind of numb to celebrities and stuff. It's just like, oh yeah, there's so-and-so. But when I work with people who I just really admire, I can meet someone more famous and be cooler. But if I really admire them, I just shut down. I can't say anything articulate. I go to pieces. And I sat like between scenes, I sat in a room with her and I was like, think of something, anything to say. Think of anything. I couldn't say anything.
I feel your pain because I feel the same way about people that I respect and admire, but I've managed to get through this with you and Vic, so it's... I thought I wasn't going to be able to do it, but I have, so...
I've closed the book on points. It's too late. Well, it was a good play on the Double or Nothing, Dave, because you ran away with scoring.
Oh, well done. That is a good thing.
In hindsight, I kind of I'm not sure if I warranted earning the extra points because I technically did talk about three jobs. So
we keep it broad for that reason.
Is that cheating?
So Juliet tabled a few. There was a chain, but there were a few irrational dislikes in there as well. So we will allow it, considering I forgot to bring the ball. I'm not going to judge anyone.
Oh, no, I was telling you to take the points and run with it. Like,
yeah, take the points.
Unashamedly
I'll take it. On irrational dislikes, I nearly launched into my irrational hatred of The Rock's Instagram account. But I'm glad I didn't go into it.
Yeah. I'm not, but you know, you've got to hold something back so you come again, haven't you? So that's fine. So yeah, thank you all for playing. This has been an absolute joy. Very educational.
Very.
A lot of ways. I can't wait to hear feedback from people from Devon who listen.
Oh no.
Sometimes it's really hard to pick the bits that are going to make trailers, but sometimes they just serve themselves up to you.
I'm never going to get booked in Devon ever again.
I would love to be.
I would love to be proved wrong about Devon. Please tell me that Devon is lovely. Please.
There we go. It's over to the audience to tweet Juliet. She spells out a name for you. Let her know why Devon is good. And CC me in because I don't like it either.
Yeah.
This has been a joy. Thank you everyone for listening. You are now all free to go. Thanks for listening to The Comedy Arcade. There'll be a new episode next Thursday with new balls and new guests. If you liked it, like us any way you can and subscribe and tell all your friends. Also, tell us. We're in all the usual places on all the social media. And if you didn't, this is Pappy's Flatshare that won the award that Comedy Arcade was also up for at Leicester Comedy Festival, and we're totally fine with it.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.